fighting for America.
Just let me go.
Bergdahl is being charged with counts of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy.
To try to bring back someone who turns out to have been a deserter is just heartbreaking.
Fighting for Idaho.
If historic racing goes away, if Senate Bill 1011 passes, we will close Lebois on June 30th of this year.
Fighting for you.
I did not lie, and I cannot believe that I have listened for almost 3 months about how we've been lied to. It just makes me sick, because I didn't lie, and there wasn't a soul who worked on this bill that did.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, our great friend, Reverend Bill, with us, kind of wandered in today. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Kevin Miller. I'm doing so good, I can hardly believe it.
You don't mind if we take a few phone calls, too, just to prove that I'm here?
Love to take phone calls.
Okay, well, people might still be calling in about the teacher pay raises and
sure.
Other things. I will prohibit you from commenting on
Thank
these
you.
Things. Because you're here for something else, but...
And I want to wear the white hat.
Yeah, that's good. That's at least one of us will be wearing the white hat. So, you know, before we get into this great event that's coming up here in the Treasure Valley, and before we talk about duty on our country at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, this is a challenging time for you. I mean, every part of the year is a challenging time for the Boise Rescue Mission. You've had some great successes lately with a lot of wonderful partnerships with local businesses and such, but... You know, we're going into spring, we're going into summer, and you know, people still need to eat, kids still need to be taken care of, and you do it without any help from the government.
We do indeed, Kevin. We do it with help from the wonderful people of the most generous community on the face of the earth right here in the Treasure Valley of Idaho. And we do it because God loves poor and hungry and homeless people much more than I do, and he makes sure that we have the things we need to take care of those folks.
How important is it to take care of the kids? Because I see on Facebook y'all are doing your college trip again where you have folks living at City Light or the Nampa facility where they're taking a look at college. How important is that? You know, when most people think of those folks in need, that we all could be at one time or another or, you know, just down the road, we don't think of planning for the future, but y'all take these kids to colleges.
Well, Kevin, I think that's part of the distinctive of the Boise Rescue Mission. Our philosophy is and always has been to help people overcome the problems and the obstacles in their lives that have led them to become homeless. And when you talk about children, what better way to get children to not fall into that repetitive cycle of homelessness and poverty, but to get them interested and excited about education. This year, we actually have a student in college at CWI who went on the college road trip about 4 years ago. So that's our first college road trip student to become a college student, and we're looking forward to a few more this next year, and as time goes by, a lot more. We want these kids to catch the vision that my kids have or had, and your kids well, your dogs, your little doggies have about, you know, education.
Yes, Buster, Bama, and Carolina, they're all about it.
No, you know what I mean, though. You know, we
University of DirecTV at the Miller House, yes.
We work with people, and children particularly, who don't have a lot of understanding or even expectation of going on beyond high school. In fact, many of them come from families that high school graduation was not possible. So we're helping these kids to catch the vision. We're teaching them at the Learning Center and the homework club after school. We have their moms interacting with their teachers and our staff and volunteers to help their kids to learn. And this college road trip is a great opportunity for those same kids to get out and see colleges throughout the Northwest and right here in Boise.
Right.
And know that they can go someday.
A lot of innovative programs. Kevin Miller in the Morning with Reverend Bill. Let's talk about the economy, because I always love talking to you. And you remember many years ago, it seems like many more than it actually is, when you and I would first talk. That would be one of the first questions that I would ask you. It's been a while since we've got an economic report from you.
Well, the economy at the Rescue Mission is doing pretty well. And again, I have to give all the thanks and credit to God and the generous people of this valley that our needs are being met day to day.
But I'm with you, but as far as jobs available, because people there can work on their resumes, get job skills, learn computers, What are you seeing? Remember, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there weren't any jobs in the Treasure Valley. Are you seeing that kind of break up? Or?
Yes. Yes, we are. There are a lot of jobs in the Treasure Valley right now, and a lot of the people staying in our shelters are in the job search and the personal development part of the programs, to where they are working and they're saving their money and looking forward to moving back into independent living. There are a lot of jobs, but the downside, and there's a big one, is that the wages that the jobs pay often can't sustain someone in their own place to live here, especially here in the city of Boise and Meridian and Garden City. Over in Canyon County, there's a little more affordable housing, but that's really a big stumbling block for people getting out of homelessness and staying out of homelessness, is finding that place, a decent place to live, where they can afford to pay the rent and or the house payment if they were to buy.
Indeed. We'll talk a little bit more with Reverend Bill concerning the Boise Rescue Mission, of course, the facility in Canyon County as well, and what you can do to help, as always. But you, you're here always with a purpose. It's never, well, I have to take that back. You did surprise me, thanks to Ray Amaya, on my birthday, and gosh knows, I still have that balloon at home.
Ah, good.
Every 47-year-old male wants people barging into his place of work going, "Happy birthday!"
We brought you donuts, too. Don't forget the donuts.
Does my physique look like I need donuts?
I've learned that radio talk show guys and police officers have one thing in common.
Well, never mind. We'll just continue on. Let's talk a little bit about
Bravo.
Something honoring service, valor, country that is coming to the Treasure Valley.
Thanks, Kevin. And really, that was my purpose to be here, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity and all of us involved in the bringing of the Bravo film to the Treasure Valley, the opportunity to get the word out today. This is a film about the 77-day siege of the Marine Corps base in Khe Sanh, Vietnam, in 1968. And it's a very familiar event that a lot of people who weren't in Vietnam even know about. But this was one of the most remarkable and heroic stands by United States forces against an overwhelming enemy attack that we have in the history of the United States military. And this film tells that story. And, in fact, there will be at least four people who were there involved in the battle at Khe Sanh in the audience and then on a panel after the film is shown to talk about their own experiences. This film will show Monday at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, and then it will show again Wednesday at Langrois Hall at the College of Idaho in Caldwell. And tickets are available now online through the Egyptian Theater's box office and through the Nampa Event Center in Nampa. It's $10 to get in, general admission, $8 for veterans. And we really hope that a lot of people will take advantage and come out and see the film.
Why?
Well, I think two reasons. This is the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. April will mark the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War.
What does that mean when you say that to you?
Well, what it means to me is that it took 50 years, but finally the majority, I think, of caring people in this country are saying welcome home to Vietnam veterans. And you know I am one. I came home to a very flat reception, other than my family, who was really happy to see me. You know, there wasn't any parade. There wasn't any big turnout of people at the airport to greet me. There wasn't a big thank you given to any of us. And I don't mean just me. I mean, you know, all of us who served in that war. We came home to people telling us we were baby killers and we were rapists and we were murderers and we were dope addicts and criminals. And I mean, that's just the sad truth. And anyone who was around between 65 and 75 knows that's the way it was. People, soldiers were spit on in the airports, harassed and sworn at, and worse. So 50 years later, here we are. And finally, I think the people of the country have realized that Vietnam veterans deserved a better welcome home. We fought, we served with honor and dignity, and we represented our country very well. You talk to any of the commanders in that campaign, and they'll tell you those were the best troops they ever served with. So now,
well, let's talk a little bit more at 580 KIDO with Reverend Bill. Let's talk a little bit about, though, Vietnam itself, you alluded to it, and you know, we live in an age of instant gratification. We live in an age where, you know, we it's video game war. That was a different experience. That was an experience that, like all wars, changed people's lives
forever.
Forever.
Yeah. I saw an interview with someone in the film here the other day, and he said, people ask him, you know, it's been almost 50 years ago. Why can't you get over it? And he said, I wish I could get over
why
it.
Why can't you get over it?
Yeah, why can't you get over it? Or to quote our famous former Secretary of State, what does it matter now? Well, it matters because we were, you know, 19, 20-year-old young fellows over there, and ladies, a few anyway, who saw and did things that were extremely difficult to process and deal with. Enormous amounts of fear every single day. You know, I didn't spend my whole tour in a combat situation, but I spent every single day wondering if I was going to die. Because there wasn't, in the Central Highlands of Vietnam in 1970, there weren't many safe places. One of my best friends was almost killed and was blinded by a landmine in one of the major roadways in Pleiku City that was supposed to be, and we all assumed, was very, very secure. But you were never secure, and so every day you walked on eggshells. You were ready to jump in a ditch and pull out your magazines and start firing. It was a guerrilla warfare. You know,
when
it was tough.
When you hear some of those songs, you know, Billy Joel's "Goodnight Saigon," what goes on in your mind?
Well, Miller, it's
And the reason why we ask this, and I know that it is, but for a lot of people listening right now at 580KIDO, born during Vietnam or after, you know, it might be a few clicks on their website, not a few clicks down the road. And it's important that people understand why it's important to go see this movie, to talk to these people, to understand the experiences, so we never repeat what happened in Vietnam ever again.
And I would love to know. I would love to think that that's the case, Miller. That we would never repeat those mistakes again. But as I look at what's going on over in Southwest Asia now, I wonder if we haven't, if we've learned anything as a nation. But that's another story. I think people should go and see the film and understand what these Marines went through. It'll give you a very, very good, clear picture. It's not a dramatic presentation. It's more of a documentary with real footage taken by military photographers who were there at the time. GIs that had cameras and took pictures. And you'll see, when you see the Bravo film, you'll see what war was really all about in Southeast Asia back in 65 to 75.
And coming up, we'll tell you how and where you can go see that movie, plus more on what you can do to continue building our great community.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, joining us once again, the Reverend Bill Roscoe of the Boise Rescue Mission. You know, next week is Easter.
Yes, it is.
Good Friday,
mm-hmm.
Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, Holy Thursday. Any thoughts on Easter you'd like to share with us? I believe we should probably get together and focus in on our Matters of Faith program that we do. Probably try and work on that on Good Friday. But, you know, you have Palm Sunday and you have Bill O'Reilly's show out of his best-selling book, Killing Jesus. The Bible seems to be making a comeback. And for most of us, it was never out. But
right.
Your thoughts on this heavily secularized instant gratification society that we live in, where we talk about the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, Miller, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us who do believe, all of us who really appreciate the message that He is risen indeed, to share that message with people who need to know, who are even anxious to learn, but are standing on the periphery somewhere wondering, you know, what this Easter story is all about. It's an amazing time in our country and in our culture, because I've never seen a time when more people seem to be completely disinterested in matters of faith. than I see today. Now, here in Idaho, I think we're a little bit above that. You know, we've got a lot of faith people in this community and people who appreciate the value of a relationship with God and what that really and truly means. But nationally and throughout the culture and around the world, you know, you look at other countries in the world and churches are dead and closing down and people are just not interested. And there's some efforts by some churches to stir things up and get people back interested again, revising their methods of programs and services. But the truth of the matter is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ saved my life literally here and now and guaranteed my eternal place with God in heaven after I leave this earth. It's just that simple. As I've said a few hundred times now, I used to be a hopeless dope addict, and now I'm a dopeless hope addict. And that's the truth of the matter, that Jesus set me free. Those burdens, the grief, the Vietnam experience, the anger and the bitterness that I felt, you know, and I've got a long story about when I came home and my father died 5 months later and just rocked my world. All of that was taken away when I came to terms with God and received Christ as my Savior. So, Christians, get on your horse these next couple of weeks and let the world know that He is risen. He is risen indeed, and He loves every single breathing person and wants to have a relationship with them.
Why is it important to do the right thing?
Well,
we have so many choices. We have so much decadence going on, and yet people like yourself and others, well, you know, that's those guys, but I'm going to go do this and indulge myself. And yet, very different from Christ's message.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, again, I think I heard you touch on that earlier this morning when I was driving in here. The culture has changed so radically in the United States of America. The societal norms, Chuck Colson's organization just wrote an article last week about no more norms. And it's a stunning realization that things that we considered normal when we were younger, like, you know, a family consisting of a mom and a dad and the kids and the dog and the cat, now is gone. The traditional values, the marriage relationship between one man and one woman, those things are just being trampled underfoot in a large way all across the country. And for those of us who believe, we have to make a stand. We have to show people that there is a difference. We have to show people that the power of God in our lives gives us the ability to resist the temptations, to turn away from the opportunities to do wrong or to sin, and to walk that straight and narrow path that leads to righteousness.
Reverend Bill with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Finally, people that would like to see Bravo, the film at the Egyptian Theater and in Nampa, what can they do?
Well, they ought to go online and get tickets today. It is limited seating, particularly up in Caldwell at the Langroy Center at College of Idaho. There's only a couple hundred seats in that venue. But they can go online to the Egyptian Theater and ticket office and buy their tickets there. They can go online for the Nampa showing at the NampaEventsCenter.com and buy their tickets there. It's going to be a great opportunity to learn more and understand better what Vietnam veterans did and went through, and perhaps why we feel the way we do today as a group of Americans.
And by the way, don't forget our friends with the Boise Rescue Mission.
Can I mention, Kevin, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's your show and I'm the guest. But I didn't say, but all the proceeds from this showing in the Langroy Center up at College of Idaho, half of those proceeds are going to go to the Lighthouse Rescue Mission Veterans Program, and the other half will go to the Veterans Court in Canyon County. And here in Boise, half of the proceeds will go to the Ada County Veterans Court, and the other half will go to the Idaho Veterans Network. So this is not a for-profit venture. This is raising money for organizations that are serving veterans here in the Valley right now.
Well, we're all about the not-for-profit ventures here on this program.
Yes, we are, and I appreciate you, Kevin.
BoiseRM.org, if you would like to help. In addition to that, other groups that do such wonderful ministry, we salute you as well. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men outside Decker. It's a three. Got it! For a second consecutive season, the Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Big time free throws. Andrew Harrison. Three it goes. To two. To one. Grant gets the shot up. Oh, it just misses. Kentucky has won.
Overtime. And a six-point margin. Here's Snyder. 5 seconds to go. Blackshear. Off the rim, put back. No good. Michigan State is headed to the Final Four.
And Jones sets up for another one. Number four of the day from outside the arc.
They have raised this program to an incredible level.
The Duke Blue Devil is going back to the big dance. And he has just tied the one and only John Wooden. For any coach taking teams to the Final Four, now for the 12th time.
There we have it, the Final Four. Good morning, Dave Burnett.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, are you excited about the Final Four?
Nope, didn't watch a second of it over the weekend.
Well, you missed some good games, particularly the Kentucky-Notre Dame game. And yesterday, Michigan State just seeming to will themselves over Louisville.
Yeah, I know the Kentucky-Notre Dame had the highest ranking CBS has had for anything in quite some time. So, a lot of people tuning in on the old boob tube for that one.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know if anybody can beat Kentucky with their seven-footers, but it seemed to me that even with all the talent, the nine McDonald's All-Americans, that, and I want to call them Rick Pitino, John Calipari, had to do offense-defense for the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. It was interesting that Notre Dame didn't have a deep bench, but they essentially went with the same five that they had. Mike Bray calling a timeout with about a minute left. Didn't leave one for the final 6 seconds. And just really sheer exhaustion on the part of the Irish when you're looking at going up against a team that I found myself actually, you know, rooting for Notre Dame just because, I don't know, you know, this whole Kentucky thing, everybody's on the bandwagon, and then Calipari at the end of it saying, well, you know, we didn't play very well, but Notre Dame played great.
Yeah. I watched America's sport yesterday. I watched NASCAR.
Yeah. You know, I was a little disappointed in NASCAR because they flipped it to the cable channel as opposed to the big Fox.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that, right in the middle of it all. Yeah, they switched it to the Fox Sports One network.
I couldn't find it for a while, and then I go, oh, it's way down there on channel 218 next to the slalom fishing or whatever.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin in Martinsville, which they all get their cars all get beat up pretty good in that one. But
yeah, I don't know if it's really, I mean, is that really anything considering, what is Martinsville, like a mile and a half or something like that?
No, it's not like that. It's the shortest track in NASCAR.
So that'd be 3/4 of a mile then. Right?
I think
something
so.
Like that?
Yeah, it's under a mile.
I mean, it's kind of like, have you been to that, for lack of a better term, the new connector there between, what is it, Old State Street and Chinden over there past the Fred Meyer?
The where it crosses, the Highway 16 goes across.
Right. It's the equivalent of driving there. You speed up and then, oh, here's a light.
Yeah, but the good news is, see, in NASCAR, they take that at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which would be fun to do.
Right. I mean, you can go up to about 65 and then the Star Police Department will have issues with you, but.
Yeah.
You talk about a challenging course, though, that Martinsville, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're just so lined up, and you watch the race. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, essentially, I guess once you're in the front, it's tough to lose?
No, it's not. It's what I understand is that, you know, if you get on the outside, if you don't have a car, you're in trouble. If you're in the outside, you know, they're pretty much racing 2x2. And if you get in the outside, if you don't have a car that's running, you're in trouble. You could lose 8-9 spots immediately.
Well, I'm glad Joey Logano didn't win.
Yeah.
He seems to be winning everything.
Denny Hamlin won. Hey, your girl Danica Patrick finished very well. I think she was ninth. She raced very well yesterday. Could have been. And she was one of those right at the end, got stuck on the outside trying to make up some ground and didn't have quite enough car and dropped a couple spots. Otherwise, she would have been top five. Did we lose Kevin? Did we lose our signal? See, I started talking about Danica Patrick, and all of a sudden he went away. Maybe he's taking the rest of the morning off. So we had that going on while we tried to reconnect. Kevin is out at Cole Christian School today. It's all part of back to school, and going to be talking to them about the programs that they have with education. So I'm going to assume that we're trying to reconnect with Kevin even as we speak. Maybe he went away for the day. You know, Danica Patrick is just too much. I'm not sure.
But, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Was Danica too much for you?
Apparently, you know, I just decided to walk off. I ran down Eustach Avenue, and I went to the Shell station, and that was enough for me. Yes.
Yeah, then I mentioned Danica, and all of a sudden, no, that's it. He's out.
I've had enough of her.
Yeah.
My goodness. So we had that awesome weather this weekend.
It was. It's going to be great today again. And I did, by the way, mowed my yard for the first time yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Raked up, cleaned up, pulled out a rose bush that I've been tired of that's been there for years. Got that done. So, yeah, it was kind of one of those weekends, working around the house.
I refuse to do that. Mrs. Miller, we've already had, while I was out of town, we had somebody mow the lawn once, and she said, well, I did it for you. I go, well, you didn't do it for me. I'd let it grow wild and free. You did it for the neighbors. And already the backyard is in need of it. She goes, are you going to mow today? And I go, I refuse to mow before April.
Wow.
So I'll be mowing.
I was happy, though. Front yard looked very good. Mowed it and got it all cleaned up. And I thought, man, that looks very nice. And the thing is, I beat all my neighbors. So I'm one of those now.
Yeah, I see. You know, the old neighborhood in Meridian, I call them the lawn Nazis. And nothing against them. They were just, I mean, the first week of March, they'd clear the snow and they'd be out there.
Yeah. Well, some people have nothing better to do.
Well, I guess so. We've got that going on. We've also got Harry Reid retiring. What do you make of that?
I have two words for that. Oh. About time.
Boy, he's kind of depressed. Now little Chucky Schumer is going to take over. Mm-hmm. That should be very interesting. He's a provocative guy.
Yeah, well, Harry Reid has been an interesting case for Nevada and for the nation. So not unhappy to see that whatsoever.
Well, let's hear what Harry had to say.
Sounded good, kind of like when you ran down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that one's not going to work, is it?
Hold on. Buffering, waiting.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 5:45 here. Hold on.
It's 15 before out. 6.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I do have breaking news for you.
Yes.
Yes, and by the way, and hopefully this is not too inside, but we have this young man here that works with us. His name is Jacob, and if you ever see us out, Jacob is the one that's always setting up all the equipment, doing all the great things
he
here.
He took Willard's place.
Yes, Willard, Ryan, Billy, Willie, Timmy, and
Billy's now Jacob.
Place. And now Jacob holds that mantle of being here. So I was watching Citizen 4. Have you seen Citizen 4 yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't watch nearly as much enough TV, obviously.
Well, like I said, my next career is going to be working at DirecTV, so when you try and call and cancel, I'll go, well, but you can't because it was the season finale of Black Sails and Citizen 4 and everything else. So Citizen 4 is the movie that won the Academy Award for the Best Documentary.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is, you know, this is actually happens. It's when Snowden called these guys and Glenn Greenwald and Laura, what Petraeus, I think her name is, went over to Hong Kong and started taping him. And as I'm watching Snowden, I'm thinking, dude, that guy looks familiar. And Snowden looks like young Jacob.
Really?
I go, his mannerisms and everything. I go, he's probably Snowden.
So Jacob could have a career in acting, playing the part of Snowden.
No, I think he is Snowden.
Oh, he's not really in Russia. He's right here setting up your gear at Cole Christian.
Exactly.
I'll have to look at a picture of Snowden. Just a young Snowden?
No, well, about the same.
Huh.
Snowden says he's in his 20s. Jacob says he's in his 20s. But I was watching this thing, and it was darn right scary. Just everything they know about us. I mean, the government knows where I go to lunch. They know where I buy my groceries. They know what I buy.
It is frightening how much they do know. And I will say this. I've had, because of my brother's occupation, I've had some security checks done. And I think a lot of people know that I spent several years in Central America.
Yep.
And when my brother got his clearance for the job that he did, they had to interview me. And they asked me specific dates. Why did you go here? Why did you come there? Why did you? And it was like, holy cow. And this was like stuff out of the past. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they knew, they've got it down as to where I've been, when I've been. They want to know what I was doing there for that many days. It was a little frightening.
And how many years ago was that?
That was, you know, in the 90s, early 90s.
Okay, so that was even before the September 11th stuff.
Yes.
And in this movie, you're going to freak out about this. They go to the government where the government has the hearings before Congress. We don't have people's phone numbers. We don't do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, imagine what they knew about you back then before they tapped into everybody's phones. And the point being at 580KIDO is that we never approved this. Now, a lot of people call Snowden a traitor. A lot of people think that he never should have disclosed this. But in a constitutional republic, don't we have the right to approve this stuff? And they were saying, you know, it's the ruled and the rulers versus the electorate and the electors. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, and we take a lot of heat sometimes for airing Alex Jones. And Alex talks a lot about going off the grid, about, you know, how Big Brother's watching. And it's a little frightening in that what he says, a lot of it is true. And it makes you think about going off the grid. I mean, the fact of how much stuff is being gathered on just regular citizens is pretty frightening. And the ability to store all that information so that they can go back and get it, I mean, yeah, it bothers me a little bit. I mean, we come back to, you know, you remember the big debate over the Patriot Act and how after 9/11 they passed the Patriot Act and then they extended the Patriot Act. And I know even here within the state there were certain people that were against it, even conservatives. I think our governor was one who was against it and didn't really care for all that was allowed to take place in the Patriot Act.
By the way, if you go to Infowars.com, you can buy some lovely vitamins that will turn you invisible and you'll go off the grid as well.
That wouldn't be bad. Might take some of those. Yeah, sometimes you think about it. I mean, every time you use your phone, is somebody logging that call? Somebody logging that text? I mean, it made me nervous when they announced that the president was coming to town here, what was that, 3-4 months ago? And I sent a text or two back and forth to you just about the fact, and then I'm thinking, okay, this is probably on somebody's radar already, that we needed to put a plan together. And I was talking about a plan for the station. And so that was a little nerve-wracking, and that suddenly I started being very clear in what I was texting about what we had to put together. So it was kind of tough. And I think Kevin just went down the hallway again. Yes, he did.
I'm back.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, you know something,
I wanted the inside story here.
I tried to go off the grid there for a minute.
Was that what it was?
See, it worked. I went off the grid.
Yeah. So, no, it made me very nervous, very self-conscious to where I started explaining exactly what I meant when we need to have a plan in place for on the air for the radio, because I guarantee you once you put the word president in a text, that somewhere that comes up on somebody's radar.
Well, and remember when President Obama came to town, you had a bunch of knuckleheads putting stupid things on Facebook and such.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, that is not good.
And you know what? It should come up on somebody's radar in that sense.
Well, then it makes you wonder if it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Going, gee whiz.
You get people flying drones into the White House and all kinds of jumping the fence, you know, so they can tell the fact that I called the CUNA to talk to somebody out there, but couldn't catch the drone, so I don't know.
Well, no, and when people always joke about that with me on the phone, I cut them off. I go, look, whatever you agree or disagree, that's going too far. I don't really want to spend time in Gitmo or anything.
Oh, Kevin, they closed that down, didn't they?
Well, I think there'd be some people there that, you know, wouldn't be too hospitable to a guy like me, so I don't know about that. I just think, again, you have to have respect for the office.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Kevin, by the way, you're out at Coal Christian School today?
Coal Valley Christian, yes.
Coal Valley Christian out broadcasting is continuing our march through the schools of the Treasure Valley. I got to do this. Your traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of camp.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we do want to thank our friends at CapEd and Chick-fil-A promoting our school, securing our future. We're Coal Valley Christian. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580. 559, keep it here. Fox News next, right here at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Idaho's